All right. Good evening and welcome to God's Word Baptist Church. Once again, you have me. And I know we're suffering for Jesus. But if you do have your Bibles, turn to the book of Mark, chapter 12. And we will pick it up at verse 41. And the Bible says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto his disciples and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." Let's pray. Father, it's good to be in your house, and we're thankful, Lord, for another time to get around your word. And we humbly seek your face, Lord, and ask that you touch our hearts, open our hearts, open our souls and spirits to your word. And Father, may it affect each and every one of us individually according to your will and grace. Father, we pay attention to your word as it's preached. Set me aside, put a guard and watch on my mouth, and anything, Lord, that is not pleasing to you would fall to the ground harmlessly and be void, that you may be glorified through your word as preached. This we ask and pray in the name of Jesus and with thanksgiving. Amen. The title of the message is Lessons from the Widow's Mite. It has historically been documented that at the time of Jesus in the temple, in the treasury was designed with cylinders shaped like a trumpet. And when they came in to deposit their giving, keep in mind, no paper money. It was all hard currency. So here comes the rich guys and gals, not leaving the ladies out, you know, rich guys and gals. They come in and people are in the temple and they come in and they go, and it's a woof, and everybody's, "Wow, look, did you see that? Wow." Here comes this widow with two mites. Nobody heard a thing. Nobody saw her come in. Nobody saw her go out, except the one that mattered, the Lord Jesus Christ, saw her come in and saw what she did. It doesn't matter how much you give. What matters is what's in your heart. It doesn't matter what talent you have, as long as you have use of the talent that God gave you with your right heart to glorify Him, not yourself. That's what matters. That's what matters. God sees the sacrifice. God notices and honors your sacrifice, even when it feels small or goes unnoticed by others. Luke chapter 21. It's going to be the same scenario, except a little different twist. And in Luke 21, we're going to pick it up verses 1 through 4. "And he looked up." Now, who is he? Jesus. "And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in hither two mites. And he said, Of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had." The focus is, and he saw. God sees what you do. He sees all the way into your heart and into your mind. Over and over in the Gospels, you see the phrase, he knew their hearts. He knew their thoughts. Nothing's hid from God. Nothing at all. He sees everything you do. He hears everything you say. He knows your thoughts. He knows the condition of your heart. He sees it all. Nothing gets by him. Nothing at all. It's to be careful, Christian, to do what you do, say what you say, use your talent for what you use it for, and give what you give with a perfect, pure heart, a right heart. If you're giving it for the wrong reasons, if you're using your talent for the wrong reasons, if you're saying things for the wrong reasons, you will be judged for what you do and what you say and what you think and what you speak. You'll be judged. Got to keep that in mind. You will be judged. God sees your heart, Christian. Make sure he sees it in the right. Make sure he sees it right. Just like this widow woman, Jesus saw what this woman did. The amount sacrificed matters most. A degree of personal sacrifice and devotion is what matters, not the external amount of the gift. A small gift can be a great sacrifice if it's given with a loving and devoted heart. Pastor Stewart's favorite verse, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Christian, your body is a sacrifice. Keep your body in subjection. Keep your tongue in subjection. Keep your mind in subjection. Keep your heart clean. You're representing an ambassador of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Keep in mind that your body is not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which are his. Each individual in this church represents one link in a church body right here in God's Word Baptist Church. It's the old saying that the chain is weakest at its weakest link. Don't be a weak link. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong, not in yourself, but in the Lord. Faith and trust are crucial. Giving is an act of faith and trust, especially when it involves sacrifice. The widow demonstrated complete trust by giving all she had, despite her poverty, and believing God would provide. Turn with me, Will, to the Old Testament, book of 1 Samuel. And we're going to pick it up, chapter 1. And this will be involving the birth of Samuel, the prophet. And we're going to focus on Hannah and her husband. And we're going to look at verses 10 and 11. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Hannah was barren at this time, and she desperately wanted a child. And she went to the Lord, and she promised, you give me a child, a man-child, he will be yours. I promise. Hannah kept her promise. Verses 18, 19, and 20, and all the way through 22. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Why was her countenance not sad anymore? Because she trusted God to perform his will in her life and honor her request. She believed God. She believed that God would give her the desire of her heart, which was a child, a man-child, a baby. That's why she wasn't sad anymore. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned. and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. God's delivering his promise. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. Go down to verse 25. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Hannah asked the Lord for a child. The Lord gave her the child, and she gave the child back. Further on in this, you see that Hannah has more children. God honored her faithfulness to him. God honored her keeping her promise to him. Christian, you promise something to God, keep your promise. God's promised you things. Has he kept your promise? Has God kept your promise to you? Has he kept your promise? He's never failed us. His promises are true. His promises are true. You prioritize God's kingdom. The Widow's Act embodies the principle of seeking first God's kingdom, trusting that he will meet your needs. This challenges our tendency to prioritize worldly security. Worldly security. What do you mean you're tithing? You got bills. Well, what do you mean you're giving to missions? You have bills. Are you going to make rent? Why are you tithing? How big is your God? My God created the universe and everything in it. Trust God. Trust him. In the same vein, go to him with your petition. Go to him with your cares. Cast all your care on him. Trust God to meet your needs. The world has its own problems. You don't need to be sharing them. You don't need to be sharing them. That, you know, they take way too much into money and worldly security. But if God gave you the talent to do your job, if God gave you the ability to do your job, if God gave you the job, honor him with the job by laboring and being a witness to him on your job site, and you get paid, then you honor him with the tithes and offerings, and he will take care of you. He will take care of you. Matthew chapter 6, pick it up at verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't go borrowing trouble. Yeah, you get bills in the mail. Yeah, you get shut-off notices for your utilities. You know, car breaks down. Things happen. It's life. God will take care of you. He'll meet your need. He'll take care of you. Don't worry. Don't go borrowing trouble. Don't. Well, what's going to happen tomorrow? Don't worry about tomorrow. Because you could go to bed and either A, God will take you to heaven, or B, the rapture will happen. Goodbye, troubles. Goodbye, overdue bills. Goodbye, broken car. Adios. I'm out of here. Just maintain your focus. Put God first. Put him first in your life, first in your heart. Honor him and glorify him with your life. Be a reflection of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. The heart's intention is key. The motivation behind giving is more important than the act itself. Giving without love or out of obligation holds less value than giving from a full heart. Acts chapter 5. We go start at verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought it a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young man arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thine husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, upon as many as heard these things. Ananias and Sapphira. A husband and wife team that you want to stay away from. Peter gave Ananias a chance. Ananias, he could have came clean and said, yeah, we had some needs over here, but here's a portion of the money. But no, he lied. And to make matters worse, Sapphira, she lied. And they paid the price. Now, you don't see things like that happening here, but it's an example of God knowing the heart and the intent. If they would have just came clean, they'd been good. But like Peter said, you've not lied to man, you've lied to God. You fell in the trap. Satan tempted you to do this, and you fell into it. If you promise something to God, keep your promise. Keep 100% of your promise. make it a good promise. Keep it. God knows your heart. And he sees your intent. Keep it pure. Keep it clean. And honor your promise to the Lord. Because he's honored his promise to you. He sent his son down to this earth. He died on a cross. Went into the tomb. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He shed his blood for your sin. He washed you clean. Holy Spirit sealed you today, redemption of the purchase of possession. Promise, promise, promise. He kept all of his promises. He will not break one promise to you at all. And the greatest promise of all is he's coming back to take us home. Amen. He's coming back. Until then, again, I'm going to drill this home. Keep your promise. Keep your promise to the Lord. Don't discount small acts. Small acts of service or giving should not be undervalued, as they may carry immense weight in God's economy. John chapter 6, please. Start at verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may take a little. Look at verse 8 and 9. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now when there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them, and that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Look at this little boy, this lad. Was he just passing through, going home, take food home to the family? We don't know. He was just there. I believe it was a divine appointment, but he was there. The Lord Jesus Christ took that boy's loaves and those fishes, and he fed 5,000 people. And when it was all said and done, they had leftovers. Doesn't sound like a Baptist potluck, but then again, you know. They had leftovers. 5,000 men. Barley loaves and two small fishes. You never see that little lad again. It's like he's there. He gives, and he's gone. But the point is, no matter how small, God uses it. Little as much when God is in it. Doesn't matter how small it is. Doesn't matter how insignificant it is. If it's done for the Lord Jesus Christ in the right heart attitude, with the right intent, it'll be great because God will get the glory to use it. The barley loaves and the fishes, God got the glory. It was a miracle. And you fed how many people with 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes? Wow. Needless to say, little as much when God's in it. You've got to cultivate humility. True generosity is not about public display, but about a humble heart, knowing that God sees what is done in private. 1 Peter chapter 5. Pick it up at verse 5 and 6 and 7. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Verse 6. Humble yourselves. Zero out your pride. Dump it. Get rid of it. Zero it out. Humble yourself. God would rather have you self-humble before him than have him humble you. Don't ask me how I know that. It's a long story with a sad ending. If you humble yourself under God, he will exalt you. But when you're exalted, it's not me. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Continually point people to Jesus Christ. Don't take any credit. Don't take any credit. The gifts you have, the talents you have, use it for his glory. Be humble. And people can, hey, that was good. That was good. No. That wasn't me. That was the Lord. That was the Lord working through me. I'm just a vessel. Way too long, way too many times, I've seen people in churches that come walking through the door and they're like, I'm all that in a bag of chips. Here I am. Don't do that, because God will take the needle and pop your pride. If you've got talent, again, if you've got talent, you have ability, use it for him. Use it to glorify and honor him. Humble, humble. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 27 through 31. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. God doesn't want any flesh puffing themselves up, glorifying themselves, and look at me. No. Look at Jesus Christ. Look at me. See what I've done? No. Look at Jesus Christ. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's not about you. It's about Him. And it's about what He did for you. If you walk around with an attitude of, boy, you know what? God sure got a good deal when He got me. No, He didn't. He just saved another poor, lost, wretched sinner from hell. It's not about you. It's about Him. Keep yourself humble in your service and your talent and your giving. Keep yourself humble. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. One of my top five favorite verses in the Bible. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. God wants a humble heart. God wants a humble and contrite spirit. God wants an obedient vessel that is clean that He can use. If there's any microbe of pride in your vessel, clean it out. If there's any speck of boasting, of self-glorification in your vessel, get it out. God will use a clean vessel. Make yourself available. Make yourself pure through the blood of Jesus Christ by purging the pride out of your heart. He will use you. He will use you if you submit yourself to Him. He will use you. Consider how much He did for you. Yeah. We can never repay what He did for us. But don't you think we can serve Him? I've fallen so short in that area. I guess I'm making up for lost time. But I know one thing, and that considers all of us. He loved us enough to die for us. He loved us enough to send His Holy Spirit to seal us to the day of redemption of the purchased possession. And He gave each and every one of us talents and abilities. Again, no matter how small or no matter how big, but we are a church body that is fit together in different parts and different pieces, all working together and just meshing and just a perfect machine moving forward with the cause of Jesus Christ and the gospel. Sure, yeah. All the cleaning ministry, the nursery, the kitchen ministry, you know, the what they call minor ministries of the church. They're not minor. In the eyes of God, they're not minor. They're just as important as here. They're just as important as here. They're just as important as a sound booth. Keep in mind one thing. if you get to the point where you believe that without you here, the church would fly apart, no. At that point, you get down here, you ask God to forgive you for your pride. And you get your heart right. You get your mind right. You get your attitude right. No one person is better than anybody else. We're all lost sinners saved by grace. We're a body. We're a unit. And we need to move forward again to honor and glorify Jesus Christ through our giving, through our talents, through our abilities. And my dad, God bless his soul, I miss him dearly. I'll see him again. When he was body and fender man, worked in an auto body shop. And he managed several body shops. And he had this one body shop he was managing, and this guy came in, and if you know anything about auto body and fender work, it's piecework. The more gravy jobs you got, the faster you made money, the more money you made. If you had more intense labor, more intense jobs, you didn't really make much money, more money, but you still made money. Got this job to manage his body shop, and he went through the books, and he found out there was this one guy that was getting all the gravy work. So he called him in. He said, hey, sit down. He said, I'm going to talk to you a minute. He goes, yeah, what is it? He goes, I just went over the books, and I noticed that you're getting all the gravy. He goes, yeah. Yeah, I'm getting those gravy jobs because I deserve them because I'm the best one here. This place would die without me. Dad says, really? You sure about that? He goes, yeah, I'm sure about it. And then he sort of, yeah, I'm sure about it. Dad says, hold on a second. Gets up, goes over, picks up a bucket, goes in the restroom, fills it up with water, comes back out, puts it on the desk. He says, stand up. He goes, what? He goes, stand up. He goes, stands up, and Dad says, okay, now, what I want you to do is I want you to put your hand in the water up to your wrist, count to five. What? He goes, just do what I say. And when you get to five, pull it out. Yeah. Okay, whatever. One, two, three, four, five. Dad says, okay, look in the bucket. Yeah. What? He goes, just look in the bucket. Dad looks in the bucket and he goes, asks the guy, he says, do you see a hole in the water? The guy goes, nope. He goes, oh, good, you can be replaced. If there was a hole in the water, don't go anywhere. We need you. That woke that guy up. And the gravy jobs are spread through the whole shop. Pride kills a church. Stay humble, church, in your giving, in your talent and ability. Stay humble. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We're going to read verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep his commandments. And walk humbly before your Lord. Why? For God shall bring every work into judgment. Every work. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to be judged by your works to get into heaven, because you're bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. What it's talking about here is talking about what you do for Him. He'll judge those works. He'll judge them. And every secret thing, too. Ananias and Sapphira got a quick judgment. Our judgment's coming. But we stand before our Lord, and He brings all of our works out, sets them there. Wood, hay, and stubble, gone. Gold, silver, precious stones are all that's left. Make sure your works are pure. Make sure your heart is pure. Make sure your intentions are pure. Make sure you're using your talent and ability for the right reasons. Stay humble. And always let your light shine. And continually point the lost and dying world to Jesus Christ. Because no matter what you give, no matter how small it is, no matter how big it is, no matter what you do, no matter how small it is, no matter how big it is, if it's done with the right heart and is done with the right intentions and is done first and foremost to honor and glorify God, that is a pearl of price in the eyes of God, to see His people walking in unity of plan, purpose, and putting the unity in practice, using our talents and abilities as a one church body to move forward with the cause of Christ and reaching a world that is lost and dying and going to hell. Contribute, give, and use your talents. And that's all I have. Brother Dan, you want to dismiss us in prayer?